The letter of Paul to the Ephesians. So obviously Paul is the author of this letter, and this letter was written when he was serving a 2-year imprisonment in Rome, and he was in prison for teaching the gospel. He was chained to a guard of the emperor all day, 24 hours a day. Paul's chained to this prison guard. But he was allowed visitors, and so he had opportunities to write these letters to the different churches that he had ministered to previously on the trip that we've talked about on his missionary trip. So this particular letter concerned his 3-year stay in Ephesus, which was the longest of any of the trips that he made. And it's different from the rest of the letters that it's more of a letter of reflection rather a letter of correction. If you spent time reading these letters in the New Testament, you'll notice that a lot of times if your church was receiving a letter from Paul, you were kind of like, oh no, that's not so good. Right. But this is more of a letter of encouragement and reflection on Paul's time spent with the people of Ephesus rather than him rebuking them for anything. So we'll start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Abby. Oh, thank you. And you think, well, now I know Bill talks a lot, but how's he going to get all this time and that? Well, it's real simple. Again, a background to what's going on is important. We're not just here to talk about 2 or 3 words or 2 or 3 sentences. What we're here to talk about is how God operates and how we operate within God's purpose and his plan. First of all, we're gonna do some reflection ourselves. We're gonna talk about Paul just briefly. And again, Paul wrote this letter to Ephesians, and I wanna talk about change in people, because Paul is change. It speaks about change. That's what he is all about. If you remember, early on, he was a Pharisee. Not just a Pharisee, but a Pharisee. He's a very intelligent man, and he was utilized by the church to go out and search for anybody that was acting like they knew or had anything to do with this what they call prophet, this Jesus. And anything and anybody that had anything to do with Jesus, he persecuted. And if we recall, and again, y'all probably going, oh, here he goes again on Stephen. Yes, I love that. That's my favorite story. But he literally oversaw the stoning of Stephen to death. Now, why did they stone Stephen to death? Because he was telling the history of the people. And as he told the history of the people and brought it to Jesus Christ, they couldn't stand that because they had misinterpreted everything. So they stoned him. This is who Paul was. He was the overseer of that. But however, check this out. And I'm a product of this change and these interventions. I know you are too. So Paul is on his way. And he's going down and he's prepped and prepared to just take it to anybody that is paying attention to this man named Jesus. And Jesus intervenes in his life. Jesus intervenes in his life. The song, I was blinded, but now I see. Jesus blinded him to whom he was that day. When those eyes opened up, he was a changed man. He was a reborn man. Hear that? That is the same thing that happens to you all. The same thing that happens to me. We are changed people because of the power of Jesus Christ. When he knocks on our door, he doesn't just open the door. He comes into the door and he comes into our life. He came into Paul's life so strongly. And then he hands Paul something. He says, look, you're going to be an apostle, apostate, a sent one. What is an apostle, apostate, a sent one? I'll tell you what it is. We talk about this many times. So I'm going to reflect back and say, here's what that means. That means that only people of authority have these people called apostles, apostates. These people get sent out by their master. And when they get sent out by their master, wherever they go, whomever they talk to, and whatever they say is literally the words of their master. In this case, Paul is telling people, folks, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. My words are not my words. My words are the words from God. That's how he's writing this letter of reflection to the people of Ephesus. He's telling them, I am an apostle of Jesus. I am sent by Christ. So we move forward and we go, okay, well, he tells who he is. And then he says, to whom he's writing. He's writing to the saints of Ephesus. And boy, when I hear saints, I remember the day when I hear somebody was saintly, I'm going, oh, I want to get away from that. What is a saint and is being referenced here is a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? So this persecutor of followers of Jesus has been changed. His eyes are open. Now he is an apostle speaking to believers in Jesus Christ, to whom listened to him for 3 years. Listen to him for 3. So then I'm going to move forward because I split that up because to the saints, and it says, and faithful in Jesus Christ. What in the world does that mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. It means how they live. It means they accepted Jesus Christ. They believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And now they're going to walk the walk that he has taught them to walk. See, there's two things. That's two things that we have to understand. And please, that's what we talk about often. And I implore you, I beg you, that when something touches you from God's word, you take it in, you listen to it, you bring it into your heart, and you bring it into your mind. And when you walk out this door, or you walk out from your bedroom, wherever you're praying, and you go, you take what he has given you, and you begin to take that, and you begin to utilize that. Don't leave it in a book. Don't leave it as a defense. Use it as an offense to preach and teach the word of Jesus Christ. That's called transference. Y'all heard me say that till I'm blue in the face. I'm going to keep saying it because when you take what's in this word and you transfer it into your body and it comes into your body and then you project it out and you give it to other people, you're doing the same thing that Paul did all over. Amen? Okay. Woo. So, we know who wrote this book. We understand that change occurs. And we understand that when change occurs, God's will be done. That the glory of God is what this is all about. When he changes us, then we are able to use what he has given us for his glory. That's what it's all about. It's not for our glory. It's not for our glory. It's for the glory of God. Everything good, bad, and the ugly is for the glory of God. Now, This letter, it's considered a letter of reflection. Well, you're thinking, well, these guys are believers, they're taking and they're walking the walk and they're talking the talk. Why would they need a letter of reflection? Who here lives in the world? Who here walks out on the street? You turn on your TV, you turn on your radio, you're surrounded by unbelievers. Does that ever happen to anybody? Does anybody ever go to work and you're going to work and there's people that don't believe in Jesus and are totally against Jesus and they don't want anything to do with Jesus and you're sitting down there trying to be Jesus and you pray over your food or you do whatever and they make fun of you or they call you a Jesus freak or they call you a Bible thumper and they do all of those things. Have you ever been in that position? See, that's why this is a letter of reflection. It's such a letter of reflection that the first three chapters of the letter to the Ephesians are reflective who we are in Jesus Christ. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 16, 8, 9. And it says, and this kind of begins to explain and open up just a little bit. It says, but I will stay in Ephesus. Now, Paul is on his missionary trip, and he's gone in to Ephesus, and he's reciting this in a letter written to the church of Corinth. He says, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for, now listen, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Uh-oh. Check that out. Opportunities are here, but oh man, it's glorious because there's adversaries. Is that how y'all look at life? Huh? Think about it. Oh my goodness, we got to go up that hill again. Oh my goodness, it's difficult. These people, they don't like Jesus. This is going to be a horrible day at work. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen to me today because I'm going to walk in there being positive and they're going to cut me down. Listen to what Paul said. He says, I'm going to stay here for a while until Pentecost. The reason I'm going to stay here for a while is because, man, the opportunity is here. See, he knows, and you know, people are searching, man. They're searching for happiness. They're searching to feel good. They're searching for everything the wrong way. They're looking for things, material things. They're looking at all kinds of things. They'll worship whatever comes around. They're looking, they're searching. He knows that. Paul knows they're going to worship something. So this is a Billism. I can't jump into his head and say, but I would highly suspect that he's looking and going, wow, this is great, because they're going to worship something. I get the opportunity to share with them the truth about the one living God. I get to share that to these people that are wanting to believe something. Let's give them the truth to believe. Let's give them the truth to believe. So now that he decides to stay, he's got to have a place to teach, correct? So I'm going to read Acts 19, 8 through 10. And this is going to tell us an amazing story. This is an amazing story. It says, and he, Paul, entered the synagogue, and for 3 months he spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily, speaking, teaching, preaching daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now, where do these people come from that were giving him a hard way to go? If you recall, this is on the third missionary trip. If you recall, everywhere that Paul went, the first two missionary trips, there was a group of Jewish individuals who would follow him, and they would hassle him. They even beat him up a time or two, hurt him. And they're following him wherever they go. Well, now they happen to be in Asia Minor, where they don't have a lot of authority. They don't have a real big voice now. But in the synagogue, they did have a voice. And so Paul is talking, how big is a synagogue? Most of them, you know, it says a synagogue is that if you have 10 or more, 10 folks at least, to have a prayer in a synagogue. Well, there could have been up to 400. I don't know how many were in that synagogue. But it was a bunch of folks, a bunch of Jewish folks, and he's trying to teach to them, a few Gentiles. And these hecklers come in and they persuade people. Well, they get to the point where the people, the leaders of the synagogue, are saying, man, you know, you got to get out of here. And so he leaves. Now, here is an important thing that we got to understand about life in general. When one door closes, When a synagogue closes, another door, a bigger door, opens up. My goodness. This hall, some say he rented it, some say he was asked to come, is a place where they would go and they would talk. And it's a big auditorium. And there's lots of room and lots of places to be. And it just fills in. And it fills in. And because he was now he's not isolated with a few people, that door shut. Hear me, that door shut. Sometimes in your life, doors are going to shut. And when they shut, keep your faith, hang on to Jesus, and look, because there's a bigger door somewhere else that's getting ready to open. And I mean, that's going to happen. I promise you that will happen if you keep your faith in Jesus Christ. Let a door shut. Let people shut that door. But when that door gets shut, keep your eyes open and your faith strong, because there's going to be a bigger door opened up. I'm going to share with you a number. And this is totally amazing, because it said, if you remember, in verse 10, it said, in all Asia heard the gospel. Through this Tyrannus Hall, in a little over 2 years, Paul was able to minister, to preach, to teach, to spread the word to over 2 million people. Amen? Hear that? 2 million people. To where all people in Asia got it. A door shut, a door opens up. God's purpose. That's just God's purpose. See, and we have to keep on, we have to keep our minds centered as Paul did. If you remember in his when he was going on his missionary trips, he went into Greece, and man, he was so overwhelmed, he started getting back. Well, what happened there? Here comes some friends of his that had gotten uncomfortable in Jerusalem, and they kind of been kicked out of Jerusalem, and they all of a sudden show up where Paul is in Greece. And it happens. And next thing you know, they've got support. He's got support. He's starting to feel better. And just he starts to feel better, Timothy shows up. And then he begins to feel better and he goes forward because he kept his eyes up. He didn't get down. He turned and gave faith into Jesus. And Jesus took him to where he needed to be and did what he needed to be. 2 million people in 2 years. That's unheard of. That is unheard of. That is an enormous amount of people. Okay, now I talked about the adversary, so I'm going to mention this just to show you and tell you what he was up against and that he thought was a great thing. He thought it was a good thing. Ephesus, it wasn't a small town. It wasn't like Piedmont or Elsinore or Fisk. It was a large, large, large town, large city. Well, you know, the more people you get together, more cultural differences occur, more opinions get to stand out, more religions get to spread. Everybody is looking for something, and it doesn't take much. If you're feeling down, you know, that's why when you know, there was a study years ago, and they had over 500 people in this room, and they took this kid who was a delinquent, was drugs and lots of issues. They stuck him on one end of that, didn't know, and here was another person on the other end of that building. They put him in there, and they watched the trend. They didn't tell these kids what was going on, and they watched what happened. This is a true study. And do you know, before that evening was over, these two kids with the likeness, with over 500 people, they found each other. So if you think for a minute, you know that's true. You know, you've seen that. If you think for a minute that in this large city that people with that want to worship something or want to believe in something, they're going to find somebody else that's going to believe or worship, and then they're going to hook up together. So now we have subgroups all over the place. That's what they were against. They even had monument. It was one of the pagan monuments. It was like one of the seven wonders of the world. Literally, what is the paganism? What do they believe? They believe that men are equal to animals, stones, rocks, and whatnot. Everything is of the earth. So this is what he's contending with. Not only did he have those, now this is one that I had heard of and seen, but I let it pass over because I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. But it's true. Now listen, when people want a God, they're going to have a God. The emperor of Rome, they call the Roman emperor cult. What was a Roman emperor cult? It was where the Roman emperor was seen as God. I'm telling you, folks, if people want a God, if people are unhappy and people are having a difficult time and they're wading through, and every time they get into the creek to get clean, it's muddy. Boy, they're going to be looking for something. They're going to be looking for somebody, and they're going to find somebody. So I'm telling you that to go out, just as Felicia said, in that gymnasium, in their dream, the most important thing is the opportunity to witness. Witness wherever you are. Do not back up. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. That's His purpose. It's His glory for you to witness. Whew. Okay. So the church in Ephesus literally was birthed amongst adversity. Hear that? Opposition. So we think we've got it bad. We don't got it bad. If you're afraid of something, talk to God. Talk to these people right here. Get bold. Bold in Christ. Get bold in Christ. If you got a family member that doesn't know Jesus, talk to them. Don't leave it unturned. I've told this story many times. I had a stepmother that we didn't know if she was a Christian or not. And Jen and I kept saying, oh man, we need to talk to her. We need to talk to her. And we never did. We never did. Now, does that matter? Do we know if she was a Christ follower? We don't know. Does it matter if we know or not? No, not really. But my point is this. We had that on our heart, and we refused to do that. She began to have a series of mini strokes after mini strokes after mini strokes. She was unconscious for days and days and days. And she died. She passed away. Now, did we miss an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? To help somebody find their path, their way, to have salvation, eternal life with God, because we refuse to do what He asks us to do? I don't know. We'll never know. Well, one day we will. Okay, I'm gonna give you a takeaway today, and then I'm gonna give us a quote. And please hold on to this. The takeaway is that God changes lives and will utilize the changed person for His glory. Amen? God will take the changed person, the new life, the reborn person, and He will use for His glory. That's the takeaway. Every closed door. Someone wants to close the door on you, okay. I don't know how they're going to feel, but I know that I'm going to feel. It's been historically in my life, when a door closes, I turn around, I would get distraught, and I go, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? And next thing I know, a door opens up, and we're rolling. I went from owning a Western store to selling cars to, next thing I know, I'm running nursing homes. What? In between, there was Division of Youth Services for 15 years. So what a diverse thing. I mean, that was weird. They said, why do you like nursing homes? I said, because if they run away, I can catch them. Amen. That was a joke. Okay, I'm going to end here. There's an author. His name is Tony Merida. And I really like reading his stuff. He co-authors a lot of things. And so if you get a chance, it's Merida. He has a bunch of neat things. And what I'm going to end with, he talks about the trials and the will of God, because that's what we're talking about. How do you look at trials, and how do you accept the will of God? First thing he says is, just because something becomes difficult, It doesn't mean you have moved out of the will of God. Have you ever said, oh, I'm praying and I'm asking him to do this and all these things are happening and it's not going my way? You ever been there? That's what he's saying. He said, that may happen. That doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. It just means that it's happening. And prepare. Stand still. Be strong. Keep praying. Keep standing up. Look at reflection. Look at what you may be doing. It may be you that's holding you back. God's saying, I want to help you here, but man, you got to get out of the way. You got to get out of the way. The will of God does not mean that you will be free of opposition. Now, you know, that was a bummer. How many of us think, I know I did, I was one of them, going, okay, if I accept this Jesus, this was years ago, I accept this Jesus, all these trouble, it's going to go away. It didn't. Actually, it excelled. It got bigger. And then I really had to go to him truthfully. Not trying to use him. Hear that? Went to him truthfully. And man, things began to change. Same things were happening, but guess what? I wasn't alone. I had him with me. The Holy Spirit became with me. And man, I got strong in areas that I never would have believed I would have been strong in. And I could walk wherever I wanted to walk with my head up. I wasn't all embarrassed about who I was and what I had become. I went from this athlete that people thought, oh yeah, he's this wonderful person, to this old drunk sucker that's in that's horrible. And what he did, man, what he did was he blinded me and opened my eyes, and I have a new rebirth. And because of that rebirth, I'm standing up here in front of you talking about the glory of God and what he will do in your life. So don't back up. And remember, because you ask him in your life and he begins to work with you, doesn't mean that there's going to be no longer opposition. He ended by saying, in fact, opportunities and opposition are often mingled together. Wow. Did we see that with Paul? Yes, we saw that with Paul. Here's what I want us to take away with that. Remember the door. Remember that he's teaching in a synagogue, probably a smaller synagogue than was the Tyrannus. He went from teaching a few people and having to argue and fight with them all every day, to he walked through an opportunity where people were listening. And not only did they listen, they took what he said and they internalized what he said. And once again, they were using it. Therefore, when he is in prison, chained to this guard, and he's able to write, he's writing in a happiness. He's writing in praise and glory of God. And he's writing to these people because he knows that not only did they accept Jesus, that they're saints, that they are walking the walk that has been taught by Jesus Christ. Does that not feel good? While he sat in chains, chained to a guard. Now again, this is a Billism. I bet that guard heard about Jesus too.